this is your Polycast for Monday, March 6th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, the Senate is set to vote on a real ID bill, and a pro-Trump rally is disrupted. Minnesota Senate Republicans have scheduled a vote today on the real ID bill with no assurances that it will pass. Tim Pugmire reports.
Questions remain whether enough DFL senators will join Republicans to pass the bill that moves the state toward compliance with the new federal driver's license standards. Some Republican lawmakers oppose Real ID, and DFL Governor Mark Dayton has been coaxing Democrats to do the same unless the bill allows unauthorized immigrants to get licenses. Republican Senate Majority Leader Paul Gazelka, who raised concerns about the governor's maneuvering last week, said he hopes the bill passes.
This is an issue that we have to get done. If it doesn't pass, then the public will be able to weigh in. They'll know where the roadblock is coming from.
Disagreements over immigrant licenses prevented final passage of a real ID bill last session. Tim Pugmire, Minnesota Public Radio News at the Capitol.
Rallies in support of President Trump were held across the country over the weekend, including at the St. Paul Capitol Saturday. Police arrested six people. Five were detained for lighting fireworks to disrupt the event. Sasha Aslanian reports.
Inside the Capitol Rotunda, March for Trump speakers reaffirmed their support for President Trump.
Doesn't it feel good to be on the winning side this time around?
As the crowd cheered and waved Trump signs, counter-protesters made noise too, filling the western staircase down to the rotunda. Capitol security strained to keep the two sides apart. As the tension boiled over, demonstrators were led outside. Some Trump supporters followed them out.
How much is Soros paying you?
The rally was meant to show unity following weeks of protest against the president's agenda.
We're tired of the protesters. We're tired of it all.
Fake news. Get away. Fake news.
Sasha Aslanian, Minnesota Public Radio News at the Capitol.
Over the weekend, Minnesota Democrats reelected Ken Martin as their state party chair for the next 2 years. It will be Martin's fourth term. He was challenged by former party associate chairwoman Donna Cassett. The party central committee meeting Saturday followed a bruising election cycle. Democrats lost many rural legislative seats as Republicans swept back to power in the Minnesota Senate and picked up seats in the Minnesota House. Former St. Paul City Council member Pat Harris launched his bid for mayor yesterday at a campaign event on St. Paul's East Side. Matt Sepik reports.
Harris is seeking to replace DFL Mayor Chris Coleman, who's running for governor next year. Harris, who's a banker, says he wants to target $100 million in small business loans to underserved neighborhoods. He also says racial equity and public safety are major priorities.
Chief Axtell and the police department are doing some extraordinary things to reach out to communities. We have to continue to do that, continue to make our police force more diverse, continue to do what St. Paul police officers have been doing for 100 years.
Also on the November ballot, our former council member Melvin Carter III, Green Party candidate Elizabeth Dickinson, former school board member Tom Goldstein, and Councilman Dai Tao. Matt Sepik, Minnesota Public Radio News.
Rochester is among at least 60 U.S. cities that are reconsidering their flags. In Rochester's case, the effort comes at a moment of historic change. The city of 100,000 wants to transform physically, culturally, and economically under the Destination Medical Center economic development effort. As Catherine Richard reports, that means picking a new flag design may be a lot harder than scrapping the old one.
Why should you care about Rochester's flag? Because you do, and you just don't know it yet.
Sometimes I bring up the topic of flags, and people are like, I don't care about flags.
This is Roman Mars. He's the host of a popular design podcast called 99% Invisible.
And then we start talking about flags, and trust me, 100% of people care about flags. There's just something about them that works on our emotions.
There's little doubt that's true of Rochester's flag. Design website Gizmodo rated Rochester's as one of the ugliest city flags on the planet. The Minneapolis flag made the list too. Geese from the future, the website mocked. More on those geese in a minute, but first, more about Rochester's flag. Its design dates back to 1980. A submission from a first-year student at the Minneapolis College of Art and Design won a contest sponsored by the city.
Rochester, Minnesota has a variant of the standard poor flag design that we call an SOB flag, a seal on a bedsheet.
That's flag expert Ted Kay. He wrote Good Flag, Bad Flag. He says Rochester's current flag violates 4 out of 5 basic design principles.
Keep it simple.
Rochester's flag is busy. It features the city's name and an airborne trio of Canadian geese with several Mayo Clinic buildings in the background.
You should use meaningful symbolism.
The geese are a little bit of a stumper as an emblem of Rochester. Not only can you find them all over the country, but people here certainly don't love it when the geese stop traffic or when they have to scrape goose droppings off the bottom of their shoes.
Use 2 to 3 basic colors.
The Rochester flag has at least 5.
No lettering or seals.
Rochester's flag has both. The text font called Data 70 is a shout out to the other big business in town, IBM. The lettering looks like what you'd find along the bottom of a check. So those are 4 broken rules, but here's the one Kay gives Rochester a passing grade on.
Be distinctive or be related.
Kay said Rochester's flag contains symbols that you don't see on other flags, but that it's similar to other flags, including Minnesota's. Local photographer Sean Fagan is among those pushing for an update. He also hopes a new design will spark some enthusiasm for the city, which is trying to shed a reputation for being boring.
I'm incredibly jealous of somewhere like a Chicago. You walk around and you see people with tattoos of the Chicago flag on their arms. It's unreal. Let's get excited about where we're from.
Chicago's flag is simplicity itself, a white field with 4 red stars between 2 horizontal blue bars. Fagan says Rochester's flag should reflect the fact that the city is more than just the home of the Mayo Clinic and a waning outpost for IBM. He plans to participate in the redesign process and will likely seek wisdom from Rochester's local flag expert, Lee Harold.
I'm the owner of the Harold Flags and Flagpoles.
Harold is also the secretary of the North American, wait for it, Vexillological Association. Vexillology is the study of flags. Who knew? Anyway, Harold says scenery is less important than identity in flag design.
Just a pastoral scene doesn't generally make the best flag. You want something that really strikes more to the heart. When people see it, they say, yes, that's us.
But the us that is Rochester is in flux and difficult to define right now. The Destination Medical Center Economic Development Agency is trying to attract new development and workers to the city. At the same time, the Convention and Visitors Bureau wants to give the city a new brand identity. And there's some chafing locally over the question of who benefits from all these changes, Rochester's residents or the millions who visit each year. Plus, there's no guarantee that the city council will adopt a new flag just because they're presented with new designs. And that's where flag expert Ted Kay has more advice for Rochester. He says that flag design can get political, so it's best to make sure that key city leaders are on board with the idea first before starting the design process.
Changing the flag design is the easy part. Getting that flag adopted is the hard part.
As Roman Mars says, everybody cares about flags. Catherine Richard, Minnesota Public Radio News, Rochester.
And that's your Polycast for this Monday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom.